accession number 18548, reel 4.
Alfred Lee, reel 4.
Right, we're drinking vodka and we're drinking it like water. Well, or not or worse, it's very important. So we ended up going back. Well, we stood talking. We left their camp, but somehow we're boozed up. We fell asleep in this ditch. And we woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning. The eggs had gone for a bird and they were all smashed inside my blouse and other chaps there, so we had yolk all over ourselves. Anyway, we made our way back to the billet where we were, or in the house. When we got back there, the company had been called back because the Black Watch had thought the Germans going to make a counterattack. I slept in the main bedroom, Lordship's bedroom. Rankin slept in the other bedroom, and Crawford, being a bit bomb on, we slept in the cellar. So the following morning, this corporal come, he'd just joined the regiment or the company, bit of a glory seeking boy, busted open the door and said to us, "You're under close arrest." Obviously, I busted out laughing. Reached for my cigarettes, and he said, "No smoking, you're under close arrest." So, on the jeep, back to up the line, washed, shaved, and smiled ourselves up. Then they marched us back. I think it was about a mile or so back to regimental HQ. And as we passed our colour sergeant, we asked for our 50 cigarette free issue. In his polite words, "Bugger off, you're not getting them, you're under close arrest."
What was the charge against him?
Desertion in a line. So, not intentionally, we just got drunk. So, we marched us down to regimental HQ, and the CO was this Major Dunn, Black Watch. He'd come into the regiment. Nice bloke, good chap. Tate, the RSM, hollering, shouting at us. So, they marched Crawford in first. He went in, come out. Little smile on his face. Then the marsh ranking in. So out the side, I said to Crawford, "What did you get?" I expect to see, 56 days in the detention or something like that. 14 days CB. Confined to barracks. They laughed my head off. So I marched in and Dunny said to me, "Lee, what have you got to say?" I said, "Same as Crawford, sir. 14 days CB. Marched out, hat on, up the road, went past the QM, cigarettes, 50. He said, "What did you get?" I said, 14 days CB, so you had to give us 50 cigarettes each, in the round 10. He went up the line and come out again, did one or two more actions in houses, but we ended up at a place called Bremerford, the last action of the war. I mean, two or three days on this side of the river, because the bridge had been blown. Anyway, put in attack. I think we put a platoon across the river the night before, and then we followed on. But as we advanced through there, to the left of me was this. Well, I spotted this German Oskis machine gun. It was a French machine gun with a tree ammunition in it. Have you seen them? Like a clip, a long tree, old fashioned Oskis. So I went up and I got all the ammunition clip and I wrapped it around the barrel, kicked the barrel over. I looked down and I saw this German put his head round the bunker, so I fired a couple of rounds on him. The flag went up, it come out. They were running out, must have been about 15 or so. One had a P-38 pistol in the holster, which I commandeered. P-38? Waltham, got one of them. So, same time, Leslie and I think it was Ray, CSM, was shouting at me to come on. "Come on, you, Lee, come on." So, I'm all I said, arsehole, something like, I'll take me time now. Anyway, we're going to ward them, and all of a sudden the mortar bomb hit the side of the house or something. Whether it's ours or theirs, I don't know. But Leslie got wounded, he had his eye knocked out, and Ray got wounded in the arm. So I says, that's retribution for shouting at me, you know, more or less to myself. Anyway, carried on until we went along the river. Again, opened the garage doors. Beautiful Mercedes was there, black saloon car. So I said to myself, well, I'm not going to get it, and no bugger else is going to get it. So I put a couple of rounds in the petrol tank, you know, that was it. Went a bit farther on. The officer said to the bringer, fire a few rounds in the house. Put again, bloody dirty Bren, wouldn't fire. So he went a bit farther on, and old Jerry started shelling us. So, being on the river, the owls are on stilts, you know, about 3 foot off the deck. As he shelled us, I dived underneath his house, and I was hands and knees, helmet down, and all of a sudden I bumped into something. I looked up, it was a Jerry. He was bomb out, he was worse than I was. Crying his eyes out, he'd been, you know. So I told him to bugger off. I said, this is my shella. So he went away.
Was he a soldier or a civilian?
Soldier. But when I first noticed he was a soldier, I looked down and saw a pair of hands like that, and I looked up and was him. So he went, I don't know where he went. He went away. So stood there and saw it through. We got hold of this small mortar bomb, mortar, miniature mortar, and a bag full of mortar bombs in a sack. And like a shotgun cartridge went in them, you know, for firing them. We never did fire, though. We attempted to have a go at it, like, but anyway, that was the action. Then we advanced up the road, dug in, and then I think 2 days later, the Divi commander came around and told us the war was finished. And that was it.
Were you really bomb happy?
I was on a touch of being bomb happy. Just wasn't quite. But to see a few of the lads did a runner, you know, deserted. But none of our lads deserted.
And were you in still in D Company by the end of the war?
Yeah, D Company, yeah. We went to, ended up at Cuxhaven.
And which platoon were you in?
I don't know, I think it was, I couldn't tell you, I think it was 21st platoon or something like that. But Sergeant Ross, the chap who went in the rice farm with us, and did that patrol, and got he go in the MM for that.
How did you feel when you heard the news of VE Day?
I was stunned. I couldn't get, didn't come through, like, you know. Not happy, like, you know, no more ditch trenches or carrying on, but that was it.
Was it shelling or mortaring that had made
well,
you bomb
the lot,
happy?
Shell, bombing, the lot, you know, constant action. But I went back to Holland last September, this September gone, and up Nijmegen with the old veterans, and Nijmegen Cemetery, I found the two graves of Vic Day and Stronach. But I couldn't find the grave of the other chap, Mac, who got hit by the mortar bomb.
What was his name?
Mac something. You know these names?
Never mind.
Yeah? Mac something. MacCready or somebody like that.
So, were you then demobbed?
Demobbed? No, I did another year in the army.
Whereabouts?
Well, he went to Cuxhaven, did Cuxhaven, then he went to Bremerford, this is Bremerford, Hanover, near Hanover, and then he ended up in Hamburg. And then we come back to England, to the Warminster School of Infantry. And I got demobbed then, got demobbed at Warminster. I don't know, I think it went to Woking, or the mob centre there. The old barracks there, cavalry barracks. Is that still there or what? I think it was toward North Down, isn't it, walking?
I think so.
Anyway, yeah, they bombed at Warminster. At the same time, about a month afterwards, the 2nd Battalion, the Seaforce, got broke up. The little lads went to 1st Battalion out the Far East, and they amalgamated with the Camerons.
How do you feel now about having served in the Second World War?
What we do is, the Normandy veterans, we generally go into Exeter and Tregore Mills, and we have a flag there. We collect for the beneficent funds, like, you know, and all that. And you have your medal up, your Glengarry, your blazer, your black trousers, you smart yourself up. And you look, you know, pucker. Because I believe once you're in the army's got you for life. Whether you're a civilian or not, you're still in it.
In what sense?
Well, inward feeling. That sense. You're there. You're there till they put you under the ground.
Do you mean self-discipline?
Self-discipline and everything, you know. Well, one thing I'll say about the Dutch children is that they know what the war's about. They've been taught that the liberation of their country is a great thing. There they are, down Osnabrück. They've all put in flowers on the grave. Every airborne bloke and every soldier there had a flower put on his grave by the Dutch people.
Do you feel the same about English children?
No, I don't think they're up to scratch of knowing about the war and how what the war was fought for them. But 1914 war, my father and his brothers were in the war, in the Navy, and we knew all about the war. The Battle of Jutland, etc., you know, Gallipoli and all that, we went through with them. Even our schoolmaster was in the Middle East, so we were fully versatile, 1914 war. But this war, I tend to get down to King's Stanton every year, school down there. That's me to go down and give a lecture to the school kids about the last war. Let's start out. What do you know about World War II? Nothing. So you've got to go through the process of learning them.
You said you were in the TA after the war.
Yes, TA. I was in the 3rd and 4th County and London Yeomanry. I was on combat tanks, and then they changed to armoured cars, reconnaissance regiment. 13 years in that.
But was that wholly in England?
That was in England, yes. St. John's Wood was the depot. But if you know anything about 3rd and 4th County and London Yeomanry, A squadron got shot up by that German tank commander, Witten, in his Tiger in Normandy.